Radio Prague News. The State Attorney's Office has dropped its investigation into Jiří Čunek, the former Deputy Prime Minister. The search for a new education minister could be over, with the Greens nominating Jiří Zlatuška for the post. And a brochure has been published by the Health Ministry informing Czechs about the doctor's fees they can expect to pay as of 2008. State Attorney Alif Salihov has dropped his investigation into Jiří Čunek, the former Deputy Prime Minister. This is the second time in 4 months that Mr. Salihov has called a halt to the investigation. Mr. Čunek stood accused of accepting a £500,000 bribe when he was mayor of Vsetín in 2002. Charges against him were thrown out by Mr. Salihov in August, who said that procedural shortcomings had undermined the case. But in November, Supreme State Attorney Renata Vesetska asked Mr. Salihov to reopen the investigation, at which point Deputy Prime Minister Jiří Čunek resigned from the government. On Tuesday, Mr. Salihov said that he could find no evidence that Mr. Čunek had acted in a way that would advantage the man supposed to have bribed him, and thus he could see no reason why Mr. Čunek should have received a bribe. In a statement to the press, Mr. Čunek said that the state attorney's move proved his innocence, which he'd been maintaining all along. On Tuesday, the Czech daily Pravo reported that the search for a new education minister, which has lasted nearly 2 months, could be over. The head of the Green Party and stand-in education minister, Martin Bursík, has recommended Jiří Zlatuška for the post. Mr. Zlatuška is a Green senator and former head of Brno's Masaryk University. According to Mr. Bursík and other senior Greens, Mr. Zlatuška's nomination is now just awaiting the approval of Prime Minister Mirek Topolánek. It's thought that Mr. Topolánek will comment on the issue at his party, the Civic Democrats, conference this weekend in Prague. Former Education Minister Dana Kuchtová resigned at the beginning of October, having failed to secure billions of crowns worth of EU funds, which had been earmarked for the Czech Republic. The search for a successor has split the Green Party, with some deputies insisting that she should be reinstated. The Health Minister, Tomáš Julínek, presented a brochure on Tuesday informing Czechs of the fees they can expect to pay on a visit to the doctor as of 2008. The brochure will be published as a supplement to the daily's Mladá Fronta Dnes on Friday and Pravo on Saturday. The guide, which is published by the Health Ministry, outlines the case for healthcare fees in the Czech Republic and informs Czechs of how much they can expect to pay for a visit to the doctors or to the emergency room. Healthcare fees were approved as part of the government's public finance reform bill in August of this year. The Health Minister admits that they were one of the most controversial facets of the reform package, but insisted on Tuesday that they were necessary to prevent waste in the healthcare system. And just time for the weather. Temperatures are expected to rise slightly over the next couple of days, with highs of up to 8 degrees Celsius. The rest of the week is set to be overcast with occasional showers. I'm Rosie Johnston, and that's the end of the news.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I am Ruth Franíková. Coming up in today's programme, the Czech Republic sends humanitarian aid to Bangladesh hit by a disastrous cyclone. The government unveils sweeping reforms of the justice system. And when will the Czech Republic be ready to adopt the euro? Then later in the programme we look at the problem of minors and smoking in the Czech Republic in this week's edition of Talking Point. All this coming up, so please stay tuned. Czech humanitarian organizations as well as the Czech Foreign Ministry have decided to send aid to Bangladesh. The country was hit by a disastrous cyclone last Thursday, which has claimed more than 3,000 lives so far. The Czech office of the ADRA humanitarian organization has already launched a fundraising campaign to help the devastated region. I asked its coordinator Radek Špinka whether they have their own representative in the afflicted area.
ADRA is network organization, and we don't have anybody from our office, but as ADRA network, we at the moment have a person coming from our regional office in ADRA Asia, who is arriving today to Bangladesh and will give us the latest update during the day today. At the moment, we have also one of our Czech citizens who is living in Bangladesh. It's a doctor living and working in Bangladesh for last 8-9 years, and we are also in touch with him about the situation.
So what does the situation look like from what you know from your contact?
We know that the part which was hit is mostly south. All the telecommunication was cut, all the electricity was broken. Over 1 million people were affected. Now they are talking about more than 3,000 people. They discovered the bodies, and still there are a number of places not reached by anybody at the moment. So the situation is quite desperate. They lost during this time mostly their houses, because they have these thatch houses, and with such a strong wind, they lost all the properties they had.
So what are currently the most urgent needs?
Safe drinking water is usually one of the priorities, because drinking water was polluted. Also the food. People lost already second time this year their crops. You might remember during the summer there was a big flood in Bangladesh which destroyed the crop. They had the first time, and the second crop, which was just now for the winter, was again destroyed. So the food is also very needed. And then because it's winter season now starting, also some shelters and blankets will be definitely one of the priorities.
You have already launched a fundraising campaign. Do you know what amount you have already collected and what amount would you like to collect?
Yes, we have been able to collect so far a little bit over 1 million Czech kron. We have tried to open the DMS account where you can send money through MMS. It's ADRA Asia, where people can send money to support people in Bangladesh. Also, we have opened our account where people can also send money. And we don't have any specific target, but we are working as a ADRA network, and together I'm sure we can collect quite a bit of money.
So in what way are you going to use the money, apart from what you have already mentioned, drinking water, shelters?
This is the first stage, which will take up months just to secure the people and the basic needs. And then depending on the funds, we'll go more on infrastructure and some rehabilitation project where ADRA is also very much involved.
That was Radek Špinka from the ADRA humanitarian organization. Prime Minister Mirek Topolánek and Justice Minister Jiří Pospíšil unveiled ambitious plans to overhaul the Czech Republic's inefficient and painfully slow justice system on Monday. The plans, ranging from allowing people to communicate by email to reshuffling the way courts are staffed and run, are set to be introduced gradually over the next 2 years. Joining me to discuss the reforms is my colleague Rob Cameron. Rob, how bad is the current situation?
Well, Ruth, the Justice Ministry claims that it is improving, but there are still severe problems in the Czech justice system. And chief among them is the time it takes courts to reach a verdict. Generally, that makes them very, very inefficient. I'll give you an example. In commercial law, a court takes an average of between 2 and 3 years to resolve a business dispute. And around 35% of the commercial disputes currently being dealt with by the courts have been heard for more than 5 years. Now, the European Court of Justice in Strasbourg says any case that exceeds 3.5 years is excessively long. And there have been a raft of successful suits filed against the Czech state with the European Court.
Is it not just a case of there being not enough judges?
Well, no, not at all. Not according to international statistics. Those statistics say that the Czech Republic actually has one of the highest number of judges per head of population in the world. At the moment, the figure is 3,028 judges in the country, in a population of over 10 million, which amounts to about one judge per 3,400 people. Either those judges aren't working very hard, or the system itself is unwieldy and inefficient. And the Justice Ministry clearly believes it's the latter, and so they've come up with these reforms.
Right, so what are the main changes proposed under these reforms?
Well, Prime Minister Mirek Topolánek, when he unveiled the reforms yesterday in Prague, he used the words fast, user-friendly and transparent. Now, he was summing them up at a conference in Prague on Monday. One of the most striking features is the digitalisation of the justice system, which will hopefully allow for faster and more efficient communication with the courts. The first stage of that project, which includes a system where you can file some legal papers over the internet and also follow the progress of your court case online, began actually already this year. And in January, the Justice Ministry wants to unveil an online register of insolvent companies. The culmination of the project will be a completely digital record of court proceedings, which should be running by 2010 at the latest.
And what else does the Justice Ministry have in store?
Well, they want to make the courts run more efficiently, and to that end, they're planning an audit of people working in the courts in this country, particularly administrative staff. They want to increase the number of senior court officials, and they also want to change the composition of tribunals set up to examine mistrials and mistakes made by judges, allowing laymen such as lawyers and notaries to sit on such tribunals and not just other judges. That's meant to improve the impartiality of these tribunals, and they'd also be allowed to dismiss judges. The judges in this country, at least the Czech media claim, are practically unsackable.
This all sounds very ambitious and expensive. Is it really realistic, do you think?
Well, the Justice Minister, Mr. Pospíšil, says it won't cost the state an extra crown. It's all covered in the draft of the budget for next year. And as we've heard, the number of judges is not the problem, but it's how they work and how the system works. He told the media that reforming the justice system was important for everyone who comes into contact with the law, either voluntarily or not voluntarily, as it were.
Thank you, Rob. The recent strong appreciation of the crown against the euro has resulted in growing internal pressure on the Czech government to set an early target date for euro adoption. After having to revise plans to join the eurozone in 2010, the finance ministry has spoken of the year 2012 as a soft target date. However, during a televised debate on Sunday, the Prime Minister said the country must now look beyond 2012 to a time when it had successfully implemented health and pension reforms. With neighbouring Slovakia looking set to join the eurozone in 2009, it seems Czechs have gone seriously wrong somewhere. But is the country really lagging so far behind the euro contenders? Economic analyst Tomáš Sedláček says that it is not the economy that's hindering adoption of the euro, it is a lack of political will.
The economy, from a technical point of view, is ready to adopt euro today. We have been quite good compared to our peers in complying with the Maastricht criteria. So the economy is quite ready. It is the willingness that we lack. And the government should be quite open in presenting it in this way, that the economy is ready to join the euro, but we do not want it. And the debate now, whether it will be more favorable for the Czech economy to grow with the euro or to grow outside of the eurozone, it is my firm belief that Czech Republic will be able to catch up with the eurozone faster if we had euro rather than outside of the eurozone, being open to all kinds of monetary fluctuations and being hindered on our exports, and also being repelling for the foreign direct investors who will more likely choose a country that has euro, such as Slovakia or perhaps even Poland, who is targeting 2012 or 2013.
Right, so why is the centre-right Czech government so much against it?
It is a long tradition of this major party that is leading the coalition government today. It is also the legacy of the president, who has always been very skeptical and critical about the euro. If we remember a couple of years back, some of us will recall that he has prophesied very short life for the euro as a currency as such. Now we know that euro is a strong currency, and it is a currency that is being more talked about in terms of positive outlook than dollar. So now these fears are no longer in place. However, the heritage of very strong criticism of not only euro but the whole European Union from our right has been quite substantial.
The Prime Minister's main argument in saying that the country was not ready was that it would still need to decide and implement the health and pensions reforms. Is that at all a justifiable argument?
That is an argument that I find quite difficult to understand. It has nothing to do with healthcare reform. We can be reforming our healthcare inside, outside the Eurozone. It really does not matter. The issue is a little more complicated with pension reforms, because once you start your pension reform, you will immediately see increase in the deficits of public finance. But the European Commission has created instruments that forgive deficits that are due to pension reform starts. This is the same situation that Slovakia is in. Slovak Republic is undergoing pension reform, and the European Commission is forgiving a certain percentage of the deficit which is due to the ongoing pension effort.
There's a Euro team, a so-called Euro team, an independent group of economic experts who argue that the adoption of the Euro is realistic for this country in 2013. What you're saying is it could happen even sooner?
From an economic point of view, it could happen much sooner. It, of course, depends on the will of the government. So together with our colleagues, we have drawn an economic and political compromise suggesting perhaps that the year 2013 may be something that the government should aim at if it does not want to commit in the year 2012.
Tomáš Sedláček talking to Daniela Lazarová. You are listening to Radio Prague, coming your way from the Czech Republic here in Central Europe. Now it's time for this week's Talking Point with Jan Wellinger.
Smoking among youths in the Czech Republic continues to be a major problem, with studies showing that the number of those in grades 7 to 9 who have experience with cigarettes is as high as 70%. Of that, some already smoke more than 11 cigarettes per day. Observers also say the age at which children begin first experimenting with tobacco is dropping, as low as the age of 10 or 11. In the Czech Republic, it is against the law for anyone to sell tobacco products to minors, but the reality is that all too often sellers are willing to turn a blind eye and fail to ask for ID. Surveys, including a series of ongoing polls by the Prague-based STEM agency, have shown that although most tobacconists are by now well aware of legislation in place, far from everyone respects it, according to the most recent numbers released by STEM in November. One-tenth of Czech tobacconists admitted to knowingly turning a blind eye when it came to selling to children who looked under the age of 15, while almost one-half were willing to sell to youths who looked under 18. Getting tobacco in the Czech Republic, even if you're not of age, is indeed not complicated, something confirmed by students at one prominent high school in Prague that we visited this week.
If somebody wants to get some cigarettes, it's very easy. It's no problem. You go and you can get what you want.
I guess that almost half of the students smoke when they are in the age of 16, 17. And the sellers are definitely not afraid to break the law.
When they are probably 18 or 17, I think it doesn't matter if the shop assistant asks or not.
It's really... really easy to get the cigarettes. But I think the problem is not in the law, or the problem is more in the families. So children who are 16 or 17 must be educated or prepared from home, not from the state or the law.
Curbing the sale of cigarettes to minors is a major priority for many, including the civic association Alliance Zákon 18, created to see that legislation on the sale of tobacco is upheld. The association recently organized a national conference on the sale of tobacco products, attended not only by the STEM agency but also by state, police, as well as tobacco industry representatives. Alliance's spokesman, Jindřich Vaněk.
Národní konference o dodržování podmínek prodeje tabákových výrobků a kouření nezletilých, kterou dnes
uspořádáme. We organized this conference as a first historic attempt to map the situation regarding the continued sale of tobacco to minors and to see the law in practice.
Reálný dopad zákona v praxi.
The reality, Mr. Vaněk and others admit, leaves much to be desired. Too few sellers heed the law clearly because there is little fear of real sanctions. Although business owners selling to minors can be fined 50,000 crowns, the law is rarely ever enforced by municipalities. Even lighter fines of 1,000 crowns issued by police to shop employees who sell cigarettes to youths aren't issued very often. Enforcing the law for all but the most blatant of offenders is not logistically easy. Other institutions like the Czech Agriculture and Food Inspection Authority might be willing to issue fines, but don't have the right to check consumers' ID. Jan Hartl is the head of the STEM polling agency.
It's a bit strange situation because the sanctions are relatively high, especially for the owners of the selling facilities. And it's not very much effective because some institutions are qualified to control the youngsters. Other institutions are qualified to find the sellers. And it doesn't work in everyday life because the main competence stays with municipalities and with the municipal police, and they don't feel any special pressure to ask and to do the controlling, and I believe that this is exactly the direction where the future legislation would go, to foster the role of municipal police where it is, and to municipalities, towns and villages.
Until that happens, says Jan Hartl, the situation is unlikely to change.
It's not a big risk to those people. Our survey shows that if the legislation and possibility to fine such actions and activities, the percentage of sellers who would sell to the youngsters would be considerably lower. Let's hope that the future legislation would be more consistent and more down to average man on the street expectations.
One town which decided not to wait but to make a difference now, precluding new legislation, is that of Most in northern Bohemia. There, Jindřich Vaněk of Aliance Zákon 18 says local police and local organizations began to take a far more proactive approach to the problem of smoking by focusing on those clearly not yet of age.
V Mostě se v domluvě městského úřadu místních škol.
In Most, the town hall, together with schools and municipal police, decided to cooperate together last spring on reducing the number of underage smokers near schools and other public areas. They began checking youths' ID in such areas and sent letters to families and schools in cases where children were caught smoking. So far, they've judged the project a success, enough to have continued a new cycle in the autumn, spreading to areas such as local parks, railway stations and bus stations, and other areas where minors are known to smoke.
Restrictive measures are only one part of the equation, stresses Jindřich Vaněk. Prevention is equally, if not more, important. It is, of course, easier to curb the trend in underage smoking if young teens are discouraged from ever picking up the habit in the first place. Jindřich Vaněk, once again.
Obecná pravda je taková, že patrně došlo ke snížení věku, ve kterém se začíná experimentovat.
In general, it's true that the age at which children begin to experiment has dropped. In recent years, we organized an extensive preventative program called Paragraph 155, which was put together for 5th and 6th graders at elementary schools. The program aimed to show the risks of smoking as well as risks for those who provide minors with cigarettes. In short, it was a program aimed at both sides of the problem, keeping kids from smoking, but also making sure the law was upheld. No such program can ever replace the family, of course. The parents' role cannot be replaced. There, it is important to stress how much our own behaviour has an impact. How children see their parents, but also how their teachers behave, of course, influences their own approach.
And that edition of Talking Point with Jan Wellinger has brought us to the end of today's programme here on Radio Prague. Everything you have heard in this show can also be found online at radio.cz. Our website also includes an extensive archive of reports and features in text and audio form. And you can also sign up for a free news email and use our podcasting. Do let us know if you have anything to say about anything you have heard in this programme. We also welcome any questions you may have, so don't hesitate to get in contact. The postal address is Vinohradská 12, 12099, Prague 2. The address for emails is english@radio.cz. But that's all for now. From myself, Ruth Franíková, goodbye and take care.